Welcome everyone to our meeting, March 27th, 2012. I'd like to call this meeting to order, and if everyone could please that can do so, please stand for a moment of silence.
Thank you. I'd like to invite our veterans up to the front to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please, gentlemen, if you do us the honor of leading us in the pledge, we'd certainly appreciate it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Cardiac?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Kovac?
Present.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Retta?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, the roll call of Richard 15.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Moving on to the approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting? Council
motion
meeting on March 13th, 2012.
Motion to approve is distributed.
Second.
Motion has been made to approve the minutes of the meeting of March 13th, 2012, and it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The minutes are approved. Moving on to announcements from members of council. Councilman Smiley, would you like to explain these blue ribbons for us, sir?
No, sir. Yes, the blue ribbon signifies the Child Abuse Awareness Month, which we will be kicking off at the beginning of April, and we will be having a resolution and a presentation here this evening in recognition of something that we unfortunately have to recognize. Hopefully one day this will be something in the past.
Councilman, is there a interfaith service again in honor of the April month again? That was a fantastic service last time.
I know Sunday we're going to Georgetown at 4 or 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
Okay. 5 o'clock,
Sunday
circle,
evening.
Sunday evening, Georgetown, 5 p.m. Circle. In Georgetown.
We'll be taking names. Look to see you all there.
Any other announcements, members of council? Back to you, Councilman Smiley.
You had that announcement for me. That wasn't where I was going, but thank you. I will, at the appropriate time, I'll be doing two presentations. Also, under announcements, I just want to say that we will be doing budget hearings again next Monday at 3 o'clock, and it will be revenues, debt services, and contingencies.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Weiner.
Yes, at appropriate time, I'll be suspending the rules to consider an item J and make a presentation.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. And it's written in my notes. I'm not sure this isn't my handwriting, but it says I have to wish a happy birthday to Grant Firestone, who's playing hooky in Florida today with his lacrosse team. he coaches lacrosse, and he's with his high school lacrosse team that he coaches in Florida for his birthday. Sounds like a likely excuse, apparently pictures are coming to prove that he's actually coaching. So, any other announcements, members of council?
That I'd be.
Seeing none, moving on to the introduction of ordinances. Madam Clerk, please proceed with the introduction of the ordinances.
Ordinance 12029 to amend the Castle County Code Chapter 4, Animals, regarding the licensing of hunting dogs. Ordinance 12030, amend the annual operating budget, reduce the County Council FY 2012 operating budget by $7,500 in order to provide funding for the Summer Recreation Camps program. Ordinance 12031, amend the grants budget appropriate funding of $7,500 from the County Council FY 2012 operating budget to the Summer Recreation Camp grant. Ordinance 12032, to amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union classified service employees and adopt the class specification of stormwater inspection supervisors. Ordinance 12033, amend the FY 2012 annual operating budget appropriate $49,986 to the Department of Public Safety for the purchase of chairs for the 911 center. Ordinance 12034, amend the grants budget appropriate $75,000 in special law enforcement assistance funds from the State of Delaware Department of Justice to the Department of Public Safety for the purchase of a firearm training system. Ordinance 12035, amend the grants budget, reallocate federal funding of $136,490.11 within the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 2 grant to provide funding for down payment and settlement assistance. Ordinance 12036, to provide for the installation of Granville with ribs and standard pole streetlights in Silver Maple Farm subdivision located in St. George's 100, and for a light tax based on the cost of streetlights.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. All ordinances shall be considered at the April 10, 2012 meeting, with the exception of those items that require Board or Commission recommendations. Moving on, item E, reports from select and special committees. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. Yesterday at 3 o'clock, Council convened at the A4 conference room to begin the budget hearings. We heard budget presentations from on the County Executive's Office, the row offices, and the County Auditor. And at 1:30 today, the Finance Committee met in the 8-4 conference room, discussed issues on tonight's agenda, and approved some grants.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, this morning at 11, we had a subcommittee on aging meeting. We discussed the universal design legislation that is going to be internally reviewed, will then be introduced in April, and then go through the plus process and the planning board before coming back to council. The other thing that we did is we had an update from Community Services, Susan Eggert, on programming for seniors, and then we also discussed about the Community Resource Fair at the Newark Free Library on May 11th.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other announcements, members? Reports from committees? We had an executive committee meeting today at 4 p.m. this afternoon, discussed four ordinances that will be appearing on this evening's agenda. Any other announcements, reports from committees? Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, Community Services Committee met. We had a discussion on the progress of the Bear Library and the progress of the Claymont Library. It was also announced that tomorrow at 10:30, there would be a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Claymont Library. We also had a discussion on the changes to the Section 8 program. Primarily, all of our clients now will be asked to contribute at least $50. As it is today, I think we have about 120 families who are not contributing anything toward the rental of the apartments. We also heard from Mr. Joe Bryant, president of Newcastle County Community Partnership, and sadly to realize today that they will be shutting down their offices.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other announcements, reports from committees, members of council? Seeing none, moving on to the consent calendar. Our consent calendar is used to pass matters in a group that have been determined to be non-controversial by the sponsor as communicated to the president or clerk. However, an item will be removed from the consent calendar upon a simple request from a member of council or from the public if a discussion is desired. I urge the public to speak up if there is any particular item of concern. Are there any items on the consent calendar which any member would like removed?
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion to suspend the rules, consider an item J at
not
this
yet.
Time.
Not yet. Okay. After the consent calendar.
Okay.
All right. I'll just repeat for everybody knows what's, where we are. Any item on the consent calendar which any council would like removed? Seeing none.
Oh, not removed, sir, but added. I must have missed the email for the recognizing the April as Child Abuse Prevention. I'd like to add my name.
Mr. Sheldon, you are on the official document that will be
okay,
delivered.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Any member of the public who wishes an item to be removed from the consent calendar, please indicate at this time. Seeing none. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
It's been a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. All in favor?
Aye.
Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 12039, congratulating Joseph Christopher Tise on attaining the rank of Eagle Scout. Resolution 12040, thanking the Office of Law for its continued service and dedication to the citizens of Newcastle County. Resolution 12041, recognizing April as Child Abuse Prevention Month in Newcastle County.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Present, the roll card reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Consent calendar has been passed. Moving on. Item G, Councilman Weiner.
Yes, now I would like to make a motion to suspend the rules to consider an item J at this time. It'd be resolution 12-0444.
Second.
But a motion to suspend rules to allow the consideration of a resolution at this time. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Councilman Weiner.
Thanks. I ask that resolution 12-0444 be read by title and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 12-044, honoring the MS Northern Sun's rescue of the tug Menominee survivors of March 31st, 1942.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
At this time, I would like to call forth our honorees, Julius Todd.
Councilman. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you, and I'll join you when you're inviting the members up. Can we probably vote on it first? Thank you. Sorry, Councilman. Yeah, as well you should be. It's a great cause, but let's vote on this first to keep it official. Madam Clerk, please. Well, let's open the floor to discussion. Any member of council wishing to discuss resolution 12-044? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to discuss resolution 12-044, please indicate at this time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on resolution 12-044.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardinal?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 12-044 has been unanimously approved. Councilman Smiley.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion to return to regular order of business under item G for presentations. Allow Councilman Weiner to do his presentation, followed by two of mine.
Second.
Motion's been made to resume regular order to allow presentations. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? We resume to regular order. Councilman Weiner,
thank
please.
You.
Time to properly recognize the men and women who served.
And I want to just thank Don Horton, who spent an incredible amount of time doing research on this to honor the story of the seaman of the tug Menemone. And I'm going to let him tell the story, so I don't want to steal his thunder. But let me just say how rare it is for us to be able to honor these distinguished servicemen from an act of courage that saved lives 70 years ago. How many more years will there be this opportunity? They've never been properly honored before. So we're in a very fortunate opportunity to thank them for their bravery near Lewis in the Atlantic Ocean. Who knew, those of us may study World War II history, that the Nazis' U-2 subs were firing at our coastline and killing thousands of Americans during World War II. They were even invading this country. From Rehoboth on down. We're going to learn a little bit about that today. Some of you may have seen the article called Delaware History by Robin Brown in the paper today. If you haven't had a chance to do that, I urge you to do that. I also want to draw your attention to the photos which appear behind my on the wall that was provided by Don Horton and Jim Boyle, our policy director, put them together. Gentlemen, here you can see the same photos that they're looking at, Northern Sun. So two of these three World War II veterans are getting a hero's welcome in the tributes this week, unheralded previously, not only by Newcastle County Council, but also by our county executive and by our governor. And certainly we need to recognize them for their bravery on this U-boat attack near the Chesapeake Bay. Julius Todd, Brandon 100, Samuel Price, who lives near St. George's in Odessa, west of Port Penn. I know our councilman from the area certainly knows and know this area well. They were young men who risked their lives during this rescue. They're now in their 90s, and they've been heroes that we're going to recognize tonight. You'll see that we're trying to find a photo of the tugboat Menemone, on which Don's oldest brother, who served our country and died at age 17, served. He was rescued, your oldest brother, and we're going to talk about that history tonight. I'm not going to go into that in greater detail. So with that in mind, I'd now like to call on Don to come forward and tell the story. Don, would you like to move over by the microphone?
Thank you.
I could probably sit here and talk all night for what I've learned just in the last 4 years about these gentlemen here. It'd be hard to do. Before I really start, I would like to talk to you about what we did in the Merchant Marine during World War II. No more, no different than we're doing today. We delivered. We delivered the goods. Sad to say, the Merchant Marine today is much smaller than we ever had since 1919 for World War I. As business has gone, so has the Merchant Marine. We put our ships under foreign flag and their flag, but there's still Merchant Marine out there regardless of our country or another country. And we're here tonight to recognize three gentlemen who were aboard the ship at Northern Sun, which you've seen up there. By the way, that's me. Peyton, at age 14, I'd already been going to sea for 4 years, so I had 10 years old. I'll tell you that a little bit later on. It's implying that these guys have been friends from the very first time that you might have heard the military refer to their training as boot camp. Well, these guys were just considered trainees. There's a great story just behind them fellows themselves, how they met. Julius, South Carolina, was down there visiting a while, and he left his family, went to his grandmother's, and from there he heard about Merchant Marine. He joined it in July of 1941, as did Sam Price. Sam had a funny thing happen to him when he was born. His mother had been across the river visiting his sister and stayed a couple of days too much. Man, she was born in another state. He had to come back to Ohio and claim his inheritance from that particular state. Any other person who's not able to get here because he just underwent surgery for some cancer, Aaron Vine. These three guys started together back in 1941, and they've had a friendship going since then for over 7 years. That alone is a major contribution to anyone. There's not too many in here could even say we're 71 years in friendship with anyone. These guys are 90, 91, and 92 at their age. And it's slipping, but they're still here, and they've come aboard here today to be honored. And I want to say this, I didn't realize until I was sitting in the seat a while ago, but this is the first county in the first state in the United States that ever drew such a welcome for our heroes, and that I'm very proud to be a part of. It's fitting for the first state to do that, and maybe some other states will follow. I'll mention something that later on. These guys, they started that friendship back at a training camp in St. Petersburg, Florida. Aaron was from Florida. These guys went down there and they joined together. And their very first ship they went to sail on was the Northern Sun that you see up here, the maiden voyage. They got together. They were, well, after their training, they were sent to Baltimore to engage in a little bit of shipboard training. At that time, they had an opportunity to either be in the deck force, the engine room, or steward department. Ironically, all three picked the engine room. And then they were sent to New York, South Station, South Street there, was a mission station where they would send the merchant mariner there to pick up a ship. They were asked at that time what ship they wanted. They had three companies to go with, Sun Oil Company, Saucony, and Atlantic Refinery. All three of them picked Sun Oil. We asked them to come here tonight and be a part of this, but for some reason, Sun Oil Company did not want to be a part of it. Sorry to hear me say that, because out of everyone we've asked to be here, Sun Oil Company is the only one who did not participate. They got together, they served this ship. I'm going to jump from place to place here and just try to get a story. It's weird, but it's the way I played it out in my mind trying to get this story together. They boarded, well, jumped in. They went to Chester, you know, Marcus Hook. Marcus Hook is where they were sent to join a ship. Ironically, they all were signed the same ship, the Northern Sun. She's up there somewhere, the tanker. And the very day they left, they headed for Texas to load of fuel. They went through a place, well, it's known as Torpedo Junction for the ones who know about World War II. The German subs were so heavy over here that they were sinking our ships over one a day. But you never heard about that. The papers were told, all the media was told to shut up about it. Do not print it. For fear if they did, we wouldn't get anybody aboard the ships. And without the merchant marine carrying the goods over the seas, we wouldn't have had a war. It would have been over here. That's the part of the merchant marine plays in a war, and that's the part they play. And today, look around you, all your equipment you see, even your clothes. I dare you tell me that it was made in the United States. It wasn't. Most of it was made overseas, and it had to come some way. It was brought by the merchant marine. I'll bet it's not our merchant marine, not the United States, but it was brought by merchant seamen of another country. We followed the business, and we've all put our ships under another flag of another nation. These guys had varied life throughout. They had varied experiences. I try to jump on it. If anybody's really interested, you'll find the story back there in that bookcase back there, the whole nine yards, so to speak. But they married closely together, two of them did, within 2 weeks of their first leave from the Northern Sun. They married two girls from Florida. But while they were still running up and down to Marcus Hook in Chester, they met some girls over here in Chester, Pennsylvania. Julius married his girlfriend, but Sam didn't. He went back home and married a friend of the other guy, Aaron Barn, but his wife passed away a few years back, well, after they were married, about 30 years, I believe, Sam. And then they were down visiting, as they do, as friendship. They were down in Florida at Aaron's house. And Julia's wife, Mildred, told Sam about the girl that he knew back in Pennsylvania. Her husband had passed away. So Sam, he calls up on the telephone, and next you know, he done married her. And there they were. It was all the way through to 70 years, things like that was happening. And it was great just to hear some of the stories. It would be great now, and this is a passing out to you folks. If you get an opportunity to talk to a veteran, listen to him, and put it on paper, it's not there. We don't have any records. And I'm here to prove that because I have been searching for 4 years to try to find records to help some 30,000 Coast Guard merchant seamen that are not recognized, even though there's a law in the books that says we'll give veteran status to merchant seamen who can prove it. You can't prove it when you steal, you take your records and throw them away and destroy them and deny them. No woman who's ever served in a merchant marine during World War II was ever recognized for their service as a veteran. We had them prisoners of war. We had them killed in action. We've had them given medals, combat medals, but no one has ever recognized them as women, as veterans. This was done because the same, you have a book, the council has a book in front of them. That is the last report given by Admiral Emory S. Land from the Warship Administration, who took over the Merchant Marine in World War II, and he passed that to President Truman. That's the final report. In there, it talks about what the Merchant Marine did, how big they did, how much losses they had. How many of you know that the Merchant Marine had the greatest loss of ratio in any service during World War II? They lost one out of every 26. Outstanding. Yet they weren't recognized when they come home. It happened so slight that it almost got by. It took a court to get them their service. I'm sure you've heard of the Women Air Force Service Pilots, the WASP. In 1977, they were granted veterans recognition for their services. And in that particular law, Public Law 95-202, it indicated that in any other organized group that provided similar service would be recognized as veterans. That was in 77. It took until 1988 and through a court of law before the merchant seamen ever got their recognition. And that was only for some. The records, again, are very sporadic. They indicate it would maybe have been anywhere from 250,000 to 415,000 who served during World War II in the merchant seamen. Current records indicate less than 90,000 have been recognized for their services. None, hardly, of the people that I'm talking about, the Coastwise merchant seamen, have ever been recognized. For two reasons. Maybe three. The women were never recognized. There's an example right there. Mom and Dad was on. Incidentally, that's the boy that Julius saved, 17 years old. The picture before that was my mother and father on the boat. We served on his boats as families. That dates back even before the United States was ever come about. Families run a lot of barges. They just still do up the Mississippi and Ohio rivers. So there's a lot of that going on. But none of them were ever recognized because the government decided there was too many documents that would entail for them to keep. There's a very small document about the size of an envelope that's given to a merchant seaman each and every time he hits the United States, a port in the United States. By law, they have to discharge them. Contrary to what people used to say, they could quit any time. They didn't have an opportunity to quit unless they deserted. They would discharge after every trip, and they had to re-sign over if they wanted to. And for the ones who didn't, they faced the draft if they were in that particular age group. But the merchant marine were more either younger or older. We had them in there, I have records showing it, as much as 78 years old serving our country, way beyond the time they had to in family. My family was a group, and it was six of us in my family that served, two women, two of us underage, and my brother, who got killed at the age of 17. to go on about that stuff all the time, but what we're trying to do here tonight is recognize these gentlemen for their services. No state in the United States that I know of has ever brought forth this much emphasis to help them. You have recognition from the governor, the senators, the House of Representatives, your group here. We have the
county executive.
So this state, this is the first state, and I'm glad to see on the board here, you're the first county that's ever come forth and recognized guys in this manner. I'm so very proud to be a part of that, and I'm so proud to see these guys finally get the recognition they ever deserve. I could go on, but I think I've said enough. I think you get my drift. I will say one more thing, though. I have a bill in Congress in the House, and I have 115 members signed it. The 115 member was your Mr. Carney. He signed it. But I don't have any senators. I don't have a senator at all who stepped forward and put a bill in, a companion bill in the House. And it's sorely needed. And I'm calling upon you guys to help me get those senators, get your state, the first county to help me to do that. We've got some petitions back there. If you can forget them and sign your names to it and send them in to you, both of your senators, and help me help these guys like this, help the women, help the children who served out there. They've never been recognized. They did it. They did what was asked of them. And I swear, I think we need to do what we need to do here. I thank you. I thank you very much for allowing me to come here and tell you my story.
Don, I'm going to give you these two. And I think at this point we have a photo opportunity. There you go. You look over here at the camera. Thank you all. Thank you for your indulgence. And at this point, I'm finished, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. We appreciate the story tonight of your service, and I think we all honor you and the Merchant Marines for your service to our country. Thank you so much. Councilman Smiley, the floor is yours.
You have to announce it. I'd like to present Resolution 12-040. I'd like to ask a representative from the Law Department to come forward, please. Support staff assume many different roles in accomplishing this mission, And whereas the office serves as an advisor to the county in the preparation and review of legal documents, the complex land transfers, the multi-million dollar contracts, and the drafting and analysis of legislation carefully crafted to withstand judicial scrutiny, and in summarizing the findings and writing the decisions handed down by the county's boards and commissions that are frequently challenged on appeal. And whereas the office assists the county in successfully negotiating collective bargaining agreements and facilitating resolution of disputes, thereby avoiding litigation altogether, and engaging in negotiations with outside parties to establish the county's role in various projects and undertakings. And whereas the office serves as an enforcer of the county's code in ensuring that problem properties are brought into compliance with the property maintenance code and protecting the safety and welfare of the county's residents by ensuring structures are compliant with the building code and maintaining the aesthetics of the community by verifying that uses are proper under the zoning code. And whereas the office serves as an advocator on the behalf of the county and representing every department within the county in trial and appellate courts, including special administrative proceedings and protecting the fiscal interests of taxpayers and pursuing delinquent accounts and in defending the decisions made by our numerous boards and commissions. And here comes my favorite part. Whereas it is notable that for the past 5 years, the office was able to resolve more claims on an annual basis than were filed against the county in that same time, that it was able to do so with a 20% reduction in staff over that same time period, and that it approximately cut in half the number of cases being handled by outside attorneys, 16 in 2007 to 9 in 2011, thereby reducing outside attorney expenses by a third, $1,122,323 in 2007 to $313,187 in 2011. And whereas, because much of the legal work performed by the office is conducted behind the scenes, it is important that the efforts of the attorneys and the support staff are recognized. Therefore, be it resolved by and for the County Council of Newcastle County, the Newcastle County Council hereby thanks the Office of Law for its continued service and dedication to the citizens of Newcastle County. Thank you very much.
Councilman Smiley, did you thank lawyers for their invaluable service to our community?
You'll note they're not involved with Eden Square.
Okay, I take my shots where I get them.
And I just want to thank everybody on the council for all the work that you've done, and on behalf of the attorneys and the legal assistants, work as Councilman Smiley said, somebody behind the scenes on all the work that
thank you.
And next, we're going to do resolution number 12041. The representative from the following.
See, we missed the preview party where we got the ribbons ahead of time and everything else. She did it late on.
Resolution number 12-041. By the way, all of council's represented on this, so if anyone wants to come up and be seen with me, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. If you want to stay comfortable right now. Yeah, if I leave, I'm sure they'll all come by.
Right.
Resolution 12-041. Recognizing April as Child Abuse Prevention Month in Newcastle County. Whereas all Delawareans deserve to grow up in a safe and nurturing environment free from fear, abuse, and neglect. Whereas child abuse and neglect is a serious public health concern linked to a wide range of medical, emotional, psychological, behavioral, and social problems. And whereas child abuse and neglect is a community problem that affects both the current and future quality of life. And whereas the majority of child abuse cases stem from situations and conditions that are preventable in the engaged and supportive community. And whereas child abuse and neglect can be prevented by making sure each family has the support they need to raise their children in a healthy environment. And whereas effective child abuse prevention programs succeed because of partnerships created among social service agencies, schools, religious and civic organizations, law enforcement agencies, and the business.
associated with child abuse and provide the needed support to families to raise their children in a safe and nurturing environment. Now, therefore, be it resolved by and for the County Council of New Castle County that New Castle County Council hereby recognize April as Child Abuse Prevention Month and encourages residents to support the efforts to end child abuse and neglect. And I just want to say, it would not bother me one bit if this was the last resolution on something like this that we ever had to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
George, please come to the microphone and address the council. Oh, come on.
That's why they sent her. Same height, same voice.
Nice.
I'm Kirsten Olson. I work at Children and Families First, and I just really want to thank you all for the opportunity to come and speak and for the recognition of April as Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. Last year, there were 14,000 reports of abuse and neglect to the Child Abuse Hotline. Each month, there are about 700 kids in foster care in our state. And as Councilman Snyder said, if I never have to come up and take another resolution, that would be a great day for us. And I think that this is just one way that we can spread the word about the importance of being aware of the signs of child abuse and neglect. And as we mentioned, we will be in Georgetown on the Circle on Sunday.
It's hard to get lost.
On the Circle, at 5 o'clock, gathering with Lieutenant Governor Den and many other partners. So we would love to see anybody there. And thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving on, does any other member of council wish to make a presentation at this time? Seeing none, moving on to items removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Resolution 12-042, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. I'd like resolution 12-042 to be read by title and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 12-042, approving refund of taxes and taxes paid in error.
Councilor Cartier.
Yes, according to New Castle County Code, finance department can only refund taxes up to $5,000. They have to come to council for any amount exceeding that. And this resolution describes up to around $56,000 in $56,112.62 of taxes paid in error. And Exhibit A on the resolution, it describes four accounts that need refunds. Three are duplicate payments. One has to do with the Wilmington tax incentive. It's all detailed in the body of Exhibit A for a total of $56,112.62.
Thank you, Councilman. Any members of council have questions or comments concerning the subject matter of this resolution? Any member of the public have any questions or comments concerning the subject matter of this resolution 12-042? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on resolution 12-042.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Betta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call reveals 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 12-042 is approved. Moving on to Resolution 12-043, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, I'd like Resolution 12-043 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 12-043, authorizing execution of certain contracts.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes, again, we've vetted this in the Finance Committee, but to recap, this contract amount for $154,000 is required for, reading from the body of the purchase order, stringing new electric power lines and transformers on new pole line, energize new line, connect services to homes, remove old electric power lines and transformers from old pole line to accommodate this construction of a sanitary sewer line at the rear of the 2100 block of Valley Road in Brandywood subdivision. And this is related to relocation of power lines as we are working on this sewer interceptor. in the Brandywood community, and it's from the testimony received the critical importance at this time to approve this so that work can proceed as planned.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions, comments of members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public have any questions or comments on Resolution 12-043? Seeing none, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 12-043.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiac?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
No?
No.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 no.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 12-043 is approved. Moving on to ordinances, I ask that Ordinance 12-025 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 12-025, amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union classified service row office employees to upgrade the position of Recorder of Deeds Office Administrator.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. As we heard during our executive committee meeting today, this position is in the office of the Recorder of Deeds and actually upgrades a position that had been previously downgraded by the Recorder of Deeds office. If anyone has any questions, we'd be happy to call the member of the Recorder of the Deeds office up to explain in further detail. Well, we have already discussed this in committee. Any member of council have any questions, comments? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for any questions, comments concerning the subject matter of Ordinance 12-025. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 12-025.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Red.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 12-025 is approved. Moving on, Ordinance 12-026, Councilman Sheldon?
Yes, Mr. President. I'd like Ordinance 12-026 be read by title only and presented to the council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 12-026, amend the annual operating budget to provide special services to provide additional funding for fuel purchases for FY 2012.
Councilman Sheldon.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we had a lengthy discussion and even a PowerPoint up there today. We're transferring $350,000 from special services on the equipment department. We will not be buying. And also the decrease of $75,000 in salary and wages is one time only to get to $425,000. It will not cost any the county any extra money. It was already allocated. It will cost that we will not be buying the equipment. So this is a one-time thing. Unfortunately, we heard today that we might be back before council, possibly in June. Hopefully not. The pipeline will be built, hopefully, at the Keystone, so it'll take care of everything. But that's before you today. I need a little humor here. I mean, it's, you know.
thank you, Councilman Sheldon. We appreciate that, and we appreciate the seriousness of the effect of increasing gas prices is having on the operation of our county services. Any member of council having additional questions or comments? Councilman Cartier.
Just to point out, you know, a lot of the county government is a 24/7 operation in intensive use of fuel. Public safety and special services have those high utilizations, and, you know, a lot of the equipment they operate is not that efficient. Although I was glad to see that the department is looking at ways to have the use of fuel closely monitored and how vehicles are used so that we can realize some operational savings on the use of the fleet.
Councilman Sheldon?
Yeah, I just, John, thanks. Just to be put on the record for the people that might be listening, we had a it's almost like a GPS tracking system to see how much they're idling, how much fast they're going as far as the speed limits, and how much a decrease in the speed limit we've been. The idling have stopped, and we've slowed down over 62% on our driving. So it was a good presentation. It's been about as good as we can get. We're talking about looking at other cars. So the administration is looking for planning for the future in this thing. So thanks for reminding me, John.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon. And I think we also heard that this program is being modeled off the state's program, which when they implemented this program saved 10% in cost annually.
Yes, it was, sir.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of Ordinance 12-026, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 12-026.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardenas?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President Pearl Corville's 13th? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 12-026 is approved. Moving on, Ordinance 12-027, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. I request that Ordinance 12-027 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 12-027, amend the FY 2012 operating budget, reduce the Department of Community Services FY 2012 operating budget by $10,000 in the Office of Economic Development FY 2012 operating budget by $40,000 to provide funding for the Community Economic Development Planning and Projects Program.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, this is, again, cost neutral for the county. We're taking funds from two different departments, and we'll be setting up another account to provide grants to a maximum of $15,000 for small businesses to try to generate expansion, jobs, improvements, services, wherever it can benefit.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Any members of council have any questions or comments concerning Ordinance 12-027? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of Ordinance 12-027, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 12-027.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardenas?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President Earl Carville's 13? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 12-027 is approved. Moving on, Ordinance 12-028, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, we request that Ordinance 12-028 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 12-028, amend the grants budget appropriate $50,000 to the Community Economic Development Planning and Projects Program.
Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, this ordinance merely allocates those funds just approved under Ordinance 12-027 to the Planning and Projects Program account for distribution.
Any questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on subject matter of Ordinance 12-028, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 12-028.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardio?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President Earl Carville's 13? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 12-028 is approved. Moving on. I move that substitute number 1 to Ordinance 12-016 be read by title only and placed before council before its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to Ordinance 12-016 to amend Castle County Code Chapter 26, Human Resources, Article 1 in general and Article 3, Merit System, regarding administrative issues.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. As we heard in our executive committee hearing today, this ordinance corrects an issue regarding the title of our Pension and Benefits Administrator, adding that Pension and Benefits Administrator into the proper section of the code and deleting an old portion of the code that is no longer relevant. Any member of council have any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on substitute number one, ordinance 12-016, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on substitute number one to ordinance 12-016.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Yes.
Cartier? Ms. Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Hackett? Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals
13 doing yes. Doing it faster.
Some anxious yeses. Substitute number one to ordinance 12-016 is approved. Moving on, ordinance 12-017. I move that ordinance 12-017 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 12-017 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 26 Human Resources regarding employees who become disabled in the course of their employment and are unable to perform the duties of their position.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Again, as we've heard during our executive committee, and we had an extensive discussion and considerable robust discussion on the effects of a pension system and becoming disabled, this particular ordinance is a narrow adoption and inclusion of those who, while on county service, become disabled. And that this resolution closes a loophole which had been inadvertently left open, excluding those members of county employment who had been injured while on the job from being able to take advantage of the county employment without having to go through the process of posting or an interview. If there are any additional questions from council?
Mr. President?
Yes, Councilman Bell.
As stated, we had a very healthy and thorough discussion. And while I did ask the question as to employee input and opportunity to comment, and I understand and appreciate the fact that Human Resources did reach out to the various collective bargaining units and employees within the county, and apparently, I guess one of our collective bargaining units had responded back and the others had not. This is a big undertaking, and I think there was some concerns raised as to its effectiveness and how it would all work. If I were going to err, I think this evening I would rather err on the part of having a little bit more discussion and assuring that our employees are comfortable with this type of process. Certainly has merits, but it also has some concerns and questions to go with it. So unfortunately, unless it's tabled this evening, I will not be able to support the ordinance on the part of making sure that our employees fully understand, and not that everyone will always agree, but I'd certainly like to err on the side of our employees having input into this process.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. We certainly appreciate your attentiveness to this issue. Again, it's my understanding through my review of the legislation and talking to Human Resources that this is a permissible inclusion. It's an enlargement of the options available to a county employee if they are injured on the job. I don't know if we want to have our human benefits expert, Ms. Lynn Beatty, take the stand to clarify the application of this ordinance. But I think we should put that, since you brought up a question, I think it'd probably be wise to put that on the record to make sure that this isn't, you know, some attempt to somehow limit the rights of a county employee, but rather, I think, enlarge the benefits available to the county employee by giving them additional options for procuring additional county positions without having to go through the posting process. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, Valencia Beatty, Chief Human Resources Officer.
And as Council President Kovac did say, this is yet another opportunity for employees to avail themselves of being able to not have to compete for a position, but if they are in fact injured, they are subject to the same constraints that those who are injured in a non-occupational standard. They can apply for a job, they are put into a position without having to compete, considering the fact that they meet the minimum requirements and of the job spec. So what we're trying to do is actually to level the playing field between those who are injured in the course of work versus those who are injured outside the course of work. And as I had stated this afternoon, we did in fact, similar to what we do with all of our policies and ordinances impacting employees, we send it out to the local presidents and the vice presidents, because there are times when the vice presidents of the locals are a little bit more quick to respond, so that they can have an opportunity to share it with their membership. As you know, we are approximately 85% unionized, so we do value the input. And I also take calls where appropriate. I'm usually available about 12-13 hour days, and I do get calls on other policies, but with this one I did not. And as I had stated earlier this afternoon, I allowed a little bit of extra time for this one because of the nature of what we were proposing. Local presidents and vice presidents are not shy in contacting me when they have concerns about anything that we put forward, and I think I allowed ample opportunity for them to weigh in. I would never put something forth, that's not my practice, without having some sort of dialogue with the locals.
Any member of council have any questions for Ms. Beattie? Councilman Sheldon.
Just one, and Mr. Hollins brought it up upstairs, and I thought of it, but I didn't say too much. The only problem I have, Ms. Beattie, about this whole thing is I like the law where you put, they get to go to work and they make up the difference with a workman's comp. My only concern is the pension, because they do not get full credit because you're making it up with the workman's comp. Mm-hmm. And I'm correct in saying that, I think. So if, hypothetically, I'm going to just use numbers, if a person makes $20,000 from the county, and they get another $10,000 on top of that for workman's comp, they get no credit for the pension of the other $10,000. It's just the $20,000.
That's correct, but if they were injured anyway, they wouldn't be getting additional salary as you had indicated. So, for instance, I think this afternoon when we spoke to the situation involving perhaps law enforcement or anyone else, if they're injured in 3 or 4 years, that kind of stops the clock at what they would be entitled to anyhow. So that would not go into their pension calculation.
I agree with that, but wouldn't they get a lump? I mean, then it could be lawsuit city, or they could be getting, you know, if somebody gets really injured on the job, mm-hmm. we're talking, you were talking 300 weeks, I think somebody brought up, it could calculate so much, how do I say it? Your calculation's down, and the employee, if he was really hurt, and it was seemed to be the county's fault, if it was a lawsuit, I'm just giving the long hypotheticals, you know, it could be a $1 million case. Well, they won't need a pension fund. I mean, they got $1 million. They got to live off of that the rest of their lives. But there's two ways of looking at it, right. What I'm trying to get to you.
Sure.
That makes it very tough. If that equation was done, you'd have 100% of my support. I want to vote for the bill.
Well, to that I would say, I mean, individuals can be lawsuit happy no matter what they do in their work capacity. And, you know, we do all that we can to guard against lawsuits. But, you know, to the extent that if someone is injured on the job and they are totally disabled, then they would be eligible for a disability pension, and this would not kick in anyhow, so they would not be harmed in that capacity.
Okay.
I'm trying to follow the lawsuit issue, and well, I'm struggling with that.
Well, I hate bringing that up, but that happens. I mean,
sure, we're in a litigious society.
Through trades and stuff like that, you mm-hmm. get injured on the job, but no accident. We had a guy that labor forgot to put the plank back. He fell 50 feet. was it the contractor's fault? It was just, it wasn't his fault. He's ruined for life.
Right,
let's
but
face it.
In that case, he would be eligible for a disability pension.
Yeah, but he's going to get more than disability, a pension. I mean, let's face it, you know.
And I understand that, but that's,
and or whatever.
But that's also my point. We cannot guard against, you know, the litigious
right.
nature of society.
All right, thank you.
Councilman Kilpatrick?
Thank you. But basically, what we're voting on tonight really has nothing to do with the pensions. Right now, if I go home and paint my ceiling and fall off the ladder, I, as a county employee, if I were married, I, as a county employee, would have the ability to come back in and say, I need a different kind of job because I can no longer trim the trees for the county.
That is correct. The
code
allows that.
If I fall out of the bucket trimming the trees for the county right now as the law is written, I don't have the opportunity to come back into you and say, I need an alternate job.
And that is correct.
And that's all
that is all we're doing, trying to level the playing field and equalize the two situations.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Street?
I just want to thank I want to thank Councilwoman and the Chief, because now I fully understand and I'm ready to vote.
Any other questions for Ms. Beattie? Councilman Powers.
I just have to say I feel the same way as Councilman Bell, and maybe the union is having, but I don't know why we have to rush into this without hearing from them, especially when we have a question. But until I hear that, I probably am going to vote no, too.
Councilman Hollins and Councilman Taggart.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm also where Councilman Bell is on this. I appreciate the general manager being here, but I think the number of questions I have cannot be resolved in this meeting this evening. So unless there is a workshop later on where we can ask more questions and I can do a better analysis of this ordinance, I would not be prepared to support it tonight. I think this is a major step, and there's just too much that I do not understand about this in terms of someone being injured on the job, what they're legally entitled to and what they're not entitled to. So I think there's some good in here, but I also think that's the cost to be paid in certain situations. So I'm not able to vote for this tonight.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Tackett?
Thank you, Mr. President. When I first reviewed this ordinance, I had immediate reservations on it. A lot of the questions were answered upstairs. I've had a lot of time to ponder this since it was reviewed in committee, and I thank Councilwoman Kilpatrick for her very explicit analogy that she engaged in with the CHR. And I also, now I'm ready to vote on this. I think, too, Ms. Beattie is exactly correct with she alleviated a lot of my concerns because they were for the unions and the employees, and given the fact that this was sent out to them, they had the ample opportunity to review this. She had documentation as proof of that. At the end of the day, I have to rely on the fact that the union presidents, you know, have a responsibility to their union members. Obviously, it doesn't seem like they had any concerns, and I have to rely on the professionalism of Ms. Beattie, and therefore I'm ready to vote myself.
Thank you, Councilman Tackett. Councilman Bell?
Thank you, Mr. President. Make no mistake about it. I truly respect the efforts on the part of HR, our Chief of Human Resources, Ms. Beattie. I think she does a tremendous job.
Thank you.
But the only thing that I'm simply saying is that I think that there's some thought process needs to be put into this as far as further explanation. I still have some concerns, and I don't know that it's not that I don't feel that this is important. Just not prepared to vote this evening because I think there's just a few more things that I'd like to kind of sort through, and if I'm unsure on it, get the answers before I vote.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Just a follow-up question, and quite frankly, to follow up with Councilwoman Kilpatrick's point. In your impression, and you're very familiar with this legislation, does this limit in any way the employees' remedies, rights, or abilities against the county or to take any action against the county or their internal rights upon being injured in an accident on the workplace?
No, it does not.
And again, unless I'm missing something, it seems to me that this is adding a benefit to the county employee by enabling that county employee who's injured on the job to pursue this if they want to.
Yes, it does.
Okay, and it doesn't take away any existing rights that the county employee might have.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, members of the council? Seeing none, thank you very much for your time. Any questions, comments for the public on subject matter of ordinance 12-017? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance 12-017.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Cardia?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
No.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
No.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Present.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Present. The roll call reveals 3 no, 1 present, 9 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 12-017 is approved. Moving on, Ordinance 12-018. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, motion to lift ordinance number 12-018 from the table and read by title only for council's consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 12-018 to amend the pay plan and raise of pay for non-union unclassified service employees of the county council.
Councilman Cartier.
Yeah, motion to close council debate and move directly to the public.
Second. There's been a motion to close council debate and open to the public. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I'm not looking at the debate. I'm just... Did I miss it being lifted from the table?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I apologize.
We have a motion. The motion is up for discussion. seeing no discussion on the motion, we will have a vote on the motion. The motion has been made and seconded to close debate and open the floor to the public. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Debate is closed, and the floor is open to the public to discuss the subject matter of Ordinance 12-018. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of this ordinance, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 12-018.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Present.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 11 yes, 1 present, 1 no.
Ordinance 12-018 is approved. Moving on, item J, time-sensitive congratulatory honorary resolutions. I believe we've taken care of all those. Any member of council aware of any other time-sensitive resolutions? Seeing none, moving on to item K, introduction of emergency ordinances. Any member of council aware of any emergency ordinances? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Moving on to public comment and other. Any member of the public wishing to address council at this time, please step forward. I think we have a member of the public wishing to address council. Please step forward to my left, your right, sign in. You will have a 3-minute time limit to address council. Make sure that everyone has an opportunity to speak. We'll ask that you try to refrain from any personal attacks, and public comment is for the purpose of hearing your views on a specific issue, not the appropriate forum for question and answers. Council and executive staff are available should you have specific questions. Please state your name for the record and welcome.
Joe Felcher, thank you very much. I want to talk about the bus issue, and give me the name, please, Bob, the law firm that bought the courthouse.
Saul Ewing.
No. No.
Young Conway.
Finger. Oh. What's the previous name for Finger?
Young Conway.
Who is
Young
it?
Conway.
Anyway, Starting they bought the out. Building. They think they bought Rodney Square because they have already used their influence to get DART to eliminate all buses from ever coming to Rodney Square again after June 17th. They don't like looking at those people, is the way I heard two lawyers behind me at one of the hearings put it. And at the time, I took the hand of my friend, the black person, and I held it up to mine. I said, now, which of the hands don't you want to look out your window to? They got up and left. They were so embarrassed. It's all about aesthetics versus thousands of people who will be inconvenienced. Have any of you ever been to a parade and walked by Dunkin' Donuts at 9th and Orange and saw what happens to the crowds there? Hundreds and hundreds of people are jammed into that corner waiting for buses. That's going to be the new transportation center. The corner of 9th and Orange is going to be, with 9 feet space versus 24 feet spaces on the sidewalks in Rodney Square. Yes, there are ragtag individuals and people with warrants perhaps at Rodney Square. Too bad. That's life in the country. And it's also life throughout the country. The crime is very low there. I sit in the Downtown Businessmen's Police Advisory Council. I know the statistics. It's not a big crime area. And it's not a crime area because there are buses and people there. Take them away and you will do what happened in New York. We did that in a place like that. Became Needle Park. They made a movie about it. Surrender that territory to the people you don't want to have to look at every day, and they will own that territory. Ask any of your constituents who take the bus to work if they want to see the buses leave Rodney Square altogether, and they want the new transportation center to be the corner of 9th and Orange where the Dunkin' Donuts is. They say that the rush hour is too congested and too dangerous. Well, my detective background made me go over and check some stats. I went to the hospital. Have you ever had an injury or a death connected with the rush hour at Rodney Square? The answer was no. However, a nun was crushed to death on the corner of 10th and Orange, where they want to bring the buses back and make that same turn, and a little black kid was killed on 10th and Shipley, run over by a bus some years ago. So they're going to take the buses from where there are no stats indicating injury or deaths and put them back where they kill people. It doesn't make sense.
Mr. Fulcher, thank you for your comments.
One more point, if I may. Ask Kathy, your receptionist, to tell you what her husband and son think about the bus movement. They both drive for DART.
Thank you. Any questions, comments, members of council? Thank you. Councilman Cartier.
You know, Mr. Fulcher, I tend to agree with your point of view. You know, Rodney Square is the great public square of the city of Wilmington, and it has advantages for transportation because of its location and access to the major road networks in the area. And I think before any kind of major change is put in place, you know, the consumers, the people use the buses, they should have a major say in this, and I'm not happy to see that it doesn't seem like they have much of a say. But I personally enjoy having the public in that square. I think it's a busy place. There's a lot of activity. And I think it's perfectly fine. And
don't forget, if you would, sir, the disabled and handicapped people who I have often walked the 20 yards or so when they wanted to change bus are now going to have to walk 4.5 blocks in all kinds of weather with their aluminum walkers, with their crutches, with their wheelchairs. 4.5 blocks is going to be the next contact, the closest contact to get where the new buses are going. And by the way, for your sakes, the buses are coming up Walnut now, from now on, after June 17th, and Front Street, and go up to 13th, and turn around, and swing around, and come down Shipley, and over the Orange, and so on. It's a terrible, terrible potential, and the elderly people. We may have to go the route of filing a federal injunction against their health being put at risk every day with this kind of move.
Yes.
Councilman Shellen?
Just one question. Have you been down to the Senate and the House of Representatives Because I don't know who's, and I really don't, I don't know who's on the Transportation Committee, but if you got in front of them, maybe, I don't know if they're allowed to...
Just had a meeting with Karen Peterson, who was chairman of the Transportation Committee. I had the union people meet with them last Thursday morning on this very issue, among the other issues DOT has with regard to salaries and so on. But that is the... This was passed down, by the way. A DOT official told me, if you ever say, I said it to you, Jerry, I'll lie and say I never told you, and blah, blah, blah. But they bought the building with a handshake with the city. Now, we want to own the park, too. And the city didn't want to get involved to that extent, so what they did was they passed it on to DOT and said to DOT, we want you to say you want it this way. And it was the DOT official that said, Jerry, we don't want it this way, but we're told by the city we better do it. That's why they're making believe they want it's coming from DOT. It's not coming from DOT. It's coming from Finger to Baker to the DOT people.
There you go.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public wishing to address council, please step forward at this time.
Looks like a motion to adjourn.
Before
Councilman Hollins.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, before we adjourn, I just wanted to mention, I feel almost a sort of commitment to say something about what happened down in Sanford. Just tonight, Councilman Street and I walked over to a demonstration at Rodney Square regarding the Trayvon Martin murder. And I grew up in South Florida, I think you've heard me say it enough, and I grew up at a time when there were what was called Jim Crow laws. That meant that my function and activity was very limited to certain places, and certain fountains I had to drink from, and certain places I had to sit on the bus along with my grandmother. But to realize this today, what happened last month in Sanford, to me is just, it's a very unfortunate circumstance in America, and every now and then something like that happens that sort of reminds me of just how far we have not come from Jim Crow to now stand your ground, and what has resulted because of that law. And as a matter of fact, the Jim Crow laws were in fact legal because they were enforced by the government. And when I went to church on Sunday, the difficult thing was that, and I knew this was happening across the country, that in black churches all across America, there was this whole idea about a code for young black men. And the same thing happened in my church when the preacher spoke from Proverbs, and he talked about, with all thy kindness, with all thy knowledge, get understanding. The understanding meaning that if you're a young black man, you have to act different than other Americans. If you're a young black man, it means you have to be careful to put on a hoodie. If you're a young black man, and all these things were coming from the pulpit, and I just sat there in church thinking, well, I guess that's knowledge. You understand that. And young men in our church need to know that because of their skin color, they're suspicious. But what bothered me about the whole thing is that, on the other hand, the Constitution guarantees us equal protection. And you go into church on a Sunday morning and hearing your pastor say to the young men in the church, we don't have equal protection. And that's what it all boiled down to. And to go over there tonight to understand what's happening here in Wilmington, to see all these young people flooded in Rodney Square, because most of these people are concerned that the same thing could happen here in Delaware, and perhaps it could. But I think from the time I grew up in the Jim Crow laws and realized that it became a way of life, and now I reflect back on it, I think sometimes I may bore members of council because I reflect on it, but I am a product of my experiences in life. And to see this just happening all over again in America, in Sanford, Florida in particular, in the evidence and the types of reporting that has gone on CNN in particular, and especially when they broke down the comments made by Mr. Zimmerman, I just think it's a very, very difficult time for me, and I hope that justice will be carried out in Sanford, Florida in this particular case. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Councilman Street.
In Rodney Square with Councilman Hollins this evening, and I don't want anybody to think that the chair of the Delaware Black Caucus is asleep at the switch. Not concerned, not involved. The fact of the matter is, as chairman on behalf of the caucus, last week we did send a letter to United States Attorney General Eric Holder acquiescing the position of the Congressional Black Caucus and asking that his office intervene and that he do everything he could as Attorney General to see to it that justice is served. I grew up in the product, and I sit here in my capacity as councilman as a product of the 60s and a product of the struggle. Had not been for the sacrifices that those that come before me made, I wouldn't sit here today. And I learned in growing up in that era that a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That's included in the letter that I wrote on behalf of the caucus. That's how I feel in my heart, and I think that what's happened in Florida is a major threat to justice everywhere. And Pastor D made the analogy, and others have made the analogy, but he made the analogy in Rodney Square tonight, which is absolutely appropriate. Michael Vick did 23 months in jail for dogfighting, and no arrest has been made with this 17-year-old child having been killed. And if that isn't just the epitome of what's wrong with our justice system and how much work there is left to be done, I don't know what is.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that we'll all agree and support the comments that have been made here this evening. What happened in Florida, totally uncalled for. What's happening with the busing, as far as the dark busing in Rodney Square, is totally uncalled for. And we have something else that's pending out there, and we discussed in committee this afternoon, but for the public record of this council, that a change of the Port of Wilmington to privatization may be another totally uncalled for. We have heard through constituent that the state is actively pursuing proposals to privatize the Port of Wilmington. I believe that we all agreed this afternoon that as soon as possible, either in an Economic Development Committee meeting or a special meeting, or even going directly to the governor, we need to get to the bottom of it and find out what's involved and how it will impact the Port of Wilmington, our people that work at the Port of Wilmington, the economy of the state, the city. We talk about economic development and growth and putting people back to work, and yet we're out seeking private management of our port, one of the most substantial and important ports along the Delaware and Eastern Seaboard. And when I mentioned this afternoon, Councilman Smiley has more institutional knowledge of the port and its operation and is more than 27 years of working there. He understands labor at the port, and he understands truly that when you look at Dole, Chiquita, and some of the other major corporations that have chose the Port of Wilmington as its port of call for distribution, that didn't come easy. And I don't think it should be easy for anyone in government without consulting with other government as to the impact that privatizing the Port of Wilmington may bring upon our citizens. So we have some very serious topics that we've touched on in a brief amount of time. Florida uncalled for. Dart busing being taken out of Rodney Square uncalled for. And we should not let anything happen to our Port of Wilmington where we say later that it was uncalled for.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. In my brief time in the county and the state, I've seen that lack of communication. I think we need to improve that level of communication between our governmental bodies, dramatically help. I reached out to the governor's office after our meeting because I heard the concerns of the members of council. I believe the governor's office actually had a media call to address this issue somewhere after our committee meetings or during our later committee meetings. The initial word that I've been told is it's not privatizing. It's interested in a public-private partnership to expand operations at the port, but I believe that we should have a representative from the state
to brief us and keep us informed on county council. It's a vitally important issue to the entire county. So thank you very much, everyone, for bringing this to light. Councilman Retta.
Thank you. I was late coming back from one of the meetings. I was talked to Councilwoman Kilpatrick in the hallway. The meeting was going on, I believe it was community service. And one of the reasons why I was late is because I was the phone call that made to the governor's office. And that was right after our meeting. Councilman Smiley brought it up. And as soon as I left the meeting, I went and called the governor's office. And there's be somebody there. We're reaching out to Alan Levin. Hopefully he can come because he's involved with the Port of Wilmington. And you did steal my thunder by saying that they're reaching out. They're investigating. There's no such thing as anything solidified right now. It's just an investigation. They're going different avenues to see where they want to go. At the economic meeting on, I believe it's the 3rd, April 3rd, the first half is John Pastor, and the second half will be Alan Levin or somebody in his capacity that deals with the port.
Great. Thank you, Councilman Retta. Councilman Street.
Well, I want to talk, get back in with the port, because what you just said and what that was communicating you from the governor's office, same church, different pew. Okay, it's a matter of semantics. It's the way I look at it. And as I said in committee meeting, you know, if that's what they're going to do, they may very well get away with it. But, and I don't want anybody to say I'm threatening the government, threatening the administration. I'm promising I will do everything I can to wreak as much havoc as folks had to wreak in other states when governors went about union busting. That's what it is. You bust unions, you destroy unions, and you begin to make it so that folks in the city of Wilmington no longer have access to one of the primary avenues of employment there is. Make it away with it. I was a fan of Muhammad Ali growing up. And at this point, it'll be rumble, old man, rumble.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Any other questions, any other comments, members of council? Seeing none. Do we have a motion?
Adjourn.
Motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.